Let there be no doubt. The truth of the children of God reigns far above man's analytic machinations. God's truth sits in heavenly places, even on the right hand of God, and God's truth is a person. Jesus declares this principle in John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The truth of the blood-bought, this King of glory, is not of this world. He is the life truth, inerrant and marvelous, and without equal in the entirety of all. And yes, he is not of this world. The truth created the world and its universe and all the laws governing them and is not subject to them. This principle of dominant outer worldly truth is first realized by the redeemed at the place Jesus calls born again. The child of God knows he has been born again, but not because he has received the right hand of fellowship from a congregation or because he has a certificate of baptism. That's not how he knows. The revelation of heavenly family is not of this world, and therefore real truth is not subject to natural mental analysis. No, it is only spiritually discerned. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The truth of the redeemed is of a supernatural nature, and it reigns supreme over all the world's analytic machinations. It is certainly true. Dear visitor, have you yet to meet the truth? In just a few moments, I will invite you to follow me in a simple prompt, and if you follow from your heart, you will be born again, literally born a second time. Hallelujah, man, this is big. This time of the Spirit of God. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Today, all your sin and shame will be washed away by Christ's cleansing blood. Today, all of Satan's bondages will be broken, every single one, and the bigger the better. Today, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Here is the prompt I promised. Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Now for today's subject. God said, Genesis 2:22, and the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. God said, Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. God said, Genesis 3:14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Man said, if God authored the Bible, where are all the God-inspired truths in his first book, Genesis? There isn't any. Now the record. Welcome to God Said, Man Said, feature 1,276 that will once again certify the perfect inerrancy of God's supernatural and beautiful book, Miracles and All. All of these features are archived here in text and streaming audio. Their calling and purpose is of an eternal nature. Every Thursday Eve, God willing, they grow by one. Thank you for visiting. Prepare yourself for staggering and marvelous truth. You have arrived at the God Said, Man Said Genesis series. This is part 56. Each of these features begins with the following information from the first feature. According to a 2006 issue of Discover magazine concerning the deceased Carl Sagan, Sagan approaches religion like any phenomenon. He isn't on a quest for life's meaning, for a comforting philosophy, or even a guide to how we should treat the neighbors. Sagan seeks truth of demonstrable kind. As a puckish example, he wonders why the book of Genesis didn't include God-inspired truths, end of quote. The born again scratch their heads in bewilderment. Did these folks actually read the book of Genesis? For the first 45 features of the Genesis series, we poured through reams of information, boiling it all down to a manageable weekly presentation. From there, it took us 9 weeks of summations, boiling these 45 features down even more. And now, We are in the second of the final 3 weeks of Summation of Summations, where we will render the original content into powerful sound bites. God-inspired truth stacked. Feature number 16, Soundbite 66. Genesis 2:22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. A rib. Why a rib? Do societal records and science confirm? God had taken a man's rib and out of it made a woman, which was much more stupendous than cloning. From this rib, God formed a brand new personage, a female, man's counterpart, who had the ability to reproduce and nourish a new member of the human family. But it was with the rib. And by the way, here's where we have the first use of general anesthesia. It was used by God. 67. Why a rib? For one thing, when bone grafting is necessary, one's own rib is the most likely candidate to contribute, as the rib is full of bone marrow. Plus, if the rib is removed properly, it will regrow. Bone marrow is spongy tissue found inside bones, but superpower-filled bones such as the breastbone, skull, hips, spine, and ribs actually contain stem cells that manufacture the body's red and white blood cells. November 3, 2012 issue of Science News is Back Inside the Female Brain. The title reads, Male DNA Found in Female Brain. Excerpts follow. Not only is male DNA present in women's brains, it's common, researchers report online. September 26th in PLOS One, J. Lee Nelson of the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center in Seattle and her colleagues found snippets of a male-only gene in the brains of 18 to 26 women who died without neurological disease. The male DNA was spread throughout their brains. What's interesting is how the DNA could have gotten there. Male cells from a fetus could have broken through the blood-brain barrier, a wall that protects the fragile brain from pathogens in the blood. But that shouldn't be possible, Johnson says. End of quote. Male DNA in the female brain? Johnson said, but that shouldn't be possible. They're flummoxed. What is this male DNA found in the brain throughout the female body? Would any in science dare to suggest Adam's rib? That, of course, is what he was made from. Number 68. Dr. McCoy, author of Scripture Insights from Science and Archaeology, writes, Genesis chapters 1 and 2, the creation account. The Sumerian creation account on six tablets, known as the Yuma Elish, when on high, dates to about 2500 B.C. Editor's note, the Sumerian account precedes the writing of Genesis. One tablet describes the creation of a woman who is named Ninti in Sumerian, translated as the woman of the rib and the lady who make live. Thus, well before Moses, these concepts were known. End of quote. God chose a rib, just like Genesis says. Feature number 17, soundbite 69. Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. A man shall cleave to his wife. Oxford English Dictionary defines cleave in this context as to stick fast or adhere as by a glutinous surface. Glued together is what cleave means. Today's science inadvertently affirms the absolute biological accuracy of this ancient declaration, an insight that only the Creator himself could know. Number 70. As a man cleaves unto his wife, a marvelous biological union is transpiring that typically ends in an infant, a new member of the human race, with 23 chromosomes from the mother and 23 from the father, the ultimate one flesh. Here the man becomes a father, the woman becomes a mother, and they become a family, Mr. and Mrs. Adam. Soundbite 71. Feature writer for the AFA Journal, Ed Battagliano, published an article in the October 2010 issue titled, Bonded in the Brain, New Science Confirms Biblical View of Sex. Several excerpts follow. This is laid out in fascinating detail in Hooked, New Science on How Casual Sex is Affecting Our Children, written by McElhaney Jr. and McKissick Bush. Both are obstetrician gynecologists who have served on the Presidential Advisory Council on HIV and AIDS. The article continues to discuss science's new discoveries concerning specific neurochemicals that directly affect sexual urges such as dopamine, oxytocin, and vasopressin. It is easy to see that God has provided neurochemical help to married couples in order to make the marital bond strong and thus provide a secure and stable environment for the raising of children. The dopamine rush during sex keeps the husband and wife coming back for more, helping to cement the relationship. And oxytocin and vasopressin make the bond even deeper. The bonding power of sex, insisted McElhaney and Bush, is real and almost like the adhesive effect of glue. Number 72. 6,000 plus years ago, God's word says cleave in one flesh, and today's science says yes. It actually happened, just like the Bible says. Feature number 18, soundbite 73. If the first encounter with evil comes in the form of a serpent, we should expect to find this ensign deeply embedded in this world's fallen condition, and we certainly do. That great dragon, the old serpent, is everywhere. Jesus speaks of him in Pergamos in Revelation 12, verses 12 through 13, as Satan's seat, the place where Satan dwelleth. Number 74. The central false deity of Pergamos was the sun divinity, worshipped under the form of Asclepios Soter, which means the man instructing serpent and savior. We see Satan taking on the form of the serpent in the Garden of Eden. This man instructing serpent instructs our great grandmother in Genesis 3, 1 through 6. Number 75, source, giddy.org. Pergamos, the Church of Satan's Throne. In the city of Pergamos was a medical school, and this was a famous place of medicine, and the emblem or the idol of Asclepios was a snake. If you have ever seen the medical symbol, you will notice that in the middle of the medical symbol, winding down its way around the pole, is a snake. That is the ancient god Asclepios, the god of healing. Number 76. The excerpt from Snakes, A Natural History. According to a story found in both Greek and Roman mythology, Hermes, or Mercury, the god of travelers and commerce, found two sparring snakes. He separated them with a stick around which the reconciled reptiles coiled themselves, a symbol of peace, which later became the caduceus, and then the emblem of the medical profession was thus created. Number 77. The world is polluted with the ensign of the devil. Source, English.omynews.com. Hindus worship snake god on July 30. On Nag Puja, Snake Worship Day, also known as Nag Panchami, on July 30, doors of many houses are decorated by a poster of Nag, the snake god. Today, the poster of Nag is worshipped with vermilion powder, flour, sacred grass, dubo, and pasted in the door with cow dung, not by glue. Cow dung is considered as pure, unlike paste. The poster is then splashed with cow's milk because milk is the food of snakes. On this day, all Hindus clean their house and splash cow urine, holy water, all around the house. Then the poster of Nag is pasted first on the top of the main door and the other doors of the room also, end of quote. Soundbite 78. When one arrives at the house of faith, he or she is greeted by the word of God and his Christ. When one arrives at the cathedrals, museums, and universities, the anti-Bible people, he or she is greeted by a dinosaur, a dragon, their Goliath, a symbol of their organized rebellion against the credibility of God and his Bible. Should it then be any surprise to you that Satan, the enemy of the cross of Christ, is known as the old serpent and the great dragon? Feature number 19, soundbite 79. Satan, Lucifer, wants to be like God. God is a living word God, Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. Satan is fully aware that God spoke all things into existence with his words of perfect knowledge and intent. Satan is aware that John 1:1 reads, "And the Word was God." To be like God, Satan must change God's words. The late Dr. Henry Morris, founder of the world-acclaimed Institute for Creation Research, had this to say in the commentary of the Henry Morris Study Bible. Satan's sin led him to desire to be as God, and this was the desire he placed in Eve's mind. In fact, when one questions or changes the word of God, he is, for all practical purposes, making himself to be God, end of quote. From cradle to grave, the medium is words. Even eternal salvation is a product of God's words and is sealed with ours, Romans 10:8-10. Number 80. There are four forces that are foundational to physics, and the most powerful of these forces is aptly named the strong force. This mysterious and invisible force holds all things together, molecules to man. Without this undetectable strong force, all things would simply go poof and disappear. This force is shrouded in mystery to carnal academia, but couldn't be more known to the Sunday school. This force is the invisible words of God. Hebrews 1:3 identifies this mysterious strong force, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Number 81. Now science has concluded that energy, which is made up of photons from the sun, actually creates matter. Further, it is even theorized that science will soon discover that words of intent laden with wisdom and knowledge create energy, light. When they prove their theory, they will find the children of the Holy Book have been there all along. The Bible clearly states that words of intent laden with wisdom and knowledge precede the entrance of light, which is photons and energy. Genesis 1:3, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." The child of God must know that it is entirely a word issue, and consequently, there is nothing more important than my copy of the Word of God. Soundbite 82. The NIV, the New International Version, was originally published in the 1970s and is currently the most popular of today's modern versions. It has 55,168 less words than the AKJV. The New King James Version has 12,707 less words. The English Standard Version has 25,698 less words. And the New American Standard Bible has 322 less words than the authorized King James Version of the Holy Bible. Go buy one of those. That should be eye-opening. The modern translations have omitted entire verses of the Holy Bible and partially truncated others. Feature number 20, soundbite 83. The dreadful law of sin and death follows a specific pattern which was established in Genesis through an act of unbelief and disobedience. mtDNA believes Satan's words over God's, eats of the forbidden fruit, and gives it to Y chromosome Adam, who also eats. That very day, they died, according to the dire warning given by God in Genesis 2:17, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." 84. There are two deaths man must encounter. The first death is physical, the second is spiritual in nature. The first death is pretty self-explanatory. Your body physically dies. The second death occurs when one is spiritually dead, dead unto God and beyond his mercy and grace. Revelation 21:7-8. It apparently appears Adam and Eve died the second death first. For example, after eating of the tree, Adam lived another 930 years before dying the first death. Soundbite 85. The very definition of sin is established in Genesis, the absence of faith in God's word. The pattern is established in Genesis chapter 3. Romans 14:23 defines sin, "For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Soundbite 86. Adam and Eve had opened wide the door to the law of sin and death for the first time. man would encounter deadly life-shortening traits and tendencies, including unbelief, shame, fear, the accusatory finger, anxiety, uncertainty, danger, stress, sickness, pain, suffering, sorrow, lust, lies, robbery, slothfulness, covetousness, bitterness, unforgiveness, hate, murder, rape, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, confusion of faith, death. Psalm 87. The day they ate, Adam and Eve could not pass on the immortality they lost to their progeny. All of their offspring would be spiritually stillborn. Ephesians 2:1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. 88. We were dead in trespasses and sins. The only solution for man was to be born again, born a second time, this time of the Spirit of God. We were sold by our parents under sin. Romans 7:14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. We needed a redeemer to buy us back. Born again. What a marvelous and glorious solution. Feature 21, Soundbite 89. Genesis 3:14 and 15. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This feature addresses the curse that befell the serpent because the part it played in the fall of man. Soundbite number 90. From the October 11, 1997 edition of the International Jerusalem Post comes the following excerpt. A midrash about Adam and Eve now has scientific support. Hebrew University researchers have found evidence that prehistoric snakes had tiny legs. According to Jewish tradition, the snake that tempted Eve to disobey God was punished by being forced to crawl on its belly forever. 91. Fox News headline, July 24, 2015. Unexpected step. Snake ancestor had 4 feet. A paragraph follows. The oldest snake fossil on record looks almost like a modern snake, except for one glaring difference. It has 4 feet, each with 5 digits, the new study finds. Soundbite 92. The article from the September 1988 issue of Creation Magazine headlined with, Snakes Do Eat Dust. Carl Whelan writes, Snakes do deliberately and purposely eat and lick dust. There is an organ in the roof of a snake's mouth called the Jacobson organ. This helps the snake to smell in addition to its nose. The snake, just like Genesis says. Feature 22, Soundbite 93. Life's pattern is established in Genesis, God's first book of the Bible. Adam and Eve were not knuckle-dragging, ignorant, and grunting cave dwellers. The first humans were genius upon genius and possessed very sophisticated skills. When archaeology digs and ancient historians report, man is found to be a very sophisticated one from the start, a sophistication that soundly contradicts the evolutionary paradigm proposed by today's academics. You'll find the following in Dr. Ronald Chittick's book, The Puzzle of Ancient Man. For the past 30 years, there has been a steadily increasing number of historical and archaeological discoveries made at various sites around the world, which, because of their mysterious and highly controversial nature, have been classified as out-of-part artifacts, thus the name uparts. The reason for this designation is that they are found in geological strata where they shouldn't be, and their sudden appearance in these layers of ancient dirt has baffled the minds of many a trained scientific observer. Soundbite 94. Genesis 4:21 tells us the father figure of music was Jubal, and his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. His name Jubal means horn or ram's horn, which was blown to announce the Jewish Jubilee. The Oxford English Dictionary says this of Jubilee. Originally, it seems ram, hence ram's horn, used as the trumpet with which the Jubilee year was proclaimed. Jubilee is obviously rooted in the name of the father of the harp and organ, Jubal. 95. Regarding Genesis 4, Dr. Chittick writes in The Puzzle of Ancient Man, Jubal was the father of all such as handled the harp and organ. Music was clearly a part of the culture, as indicated by mention of both stringed and wind instruments. Archaeologists have uncovered musical instruments from very ancient times. Some of these ancient instruments are not crude or primitive, but are highly crafted. Even with our modern technology, we do not know how these ancient instruments might be improved to make better music. Evidence indicates that music itself is very ancient. 96, from the Antiquities of the Jews. Of those children by Adah, one was Jabal. He erected tents and loved the life of a shepherd. But Jubal, who was born of the same mother, with him exercised himself in music and invented the psaltery and the harp. All the patterns of life are established in Genesis, God's first book of the Bible. Feature 23, Soundbite 97, Genesis 5:5. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Many critics of the Bible, being unaware of the benefits of the pre-flood water canopy described in Genesis chapter 1, boldly ridicule the nearly 1,000-year lifespans reported in Genesis. The average pre-Noah lifespan was 912 years, or 13 times longer than we live today. Imagine living in a perfect tropical atmosphere, perfect air, perfect water, perfect diet, without harmful effects from the sun. The obvious result would be long, long, healthy life, 13 times longer. The famed historian Flavius Josephus, who wrote just after Christ's life here on the earth, recorded the lifespan of the ancients reaching up to 1,000 years. He refers directly to ancient historians such as Manetho, Berosus, Marcus, Hestius, Hieronymus, Hesiod, Acadius, Hellenicus, Acusulus, Ephorus, and Nicholas, who attested this phenomenal lifespan. Consider the present-day Chinese iguana now that grows as large as 12 feet long. Suppose before the flood in a near-perfect environment, the iguana would have lived 13 times longer, and because it never stops growing, will become 13 times bigger. The Chinese iguana would be 156 feet long and about 3 stories tall. Dinosaur, terrible lizard. The dinosaur is simply a giant lizard, which was created by God in the same six-day span as man. Soundbite 98. The headline in the March-April 2015 issue of Psychology Today reads, "Tinkering with Mortality." A paragraph follows. The prospect of such treatments has energized a more radical group of thinkers, including Aubrey de Grey, controversial chief science officer of SENS, Strategies for Engineered Negligible Senescence, who has suggested that as we engineer aging out of our very cells, some people born today may live 1,000 years. 99. Did humans live an average of 912 years before the flood? Of course, the answer is yes. Feature number 24, soundbite 100. Genesis 6:3. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Some suggest that the 120 years reference does not deal with lifespan, but rather with ark preparations and preaching to the lost. However, a plain, childlike reading of the passage clearly refers to the maximum lifespan of man. Famed Jewish historian Josephus, born a few years after Christ, had this to say of Noah, in the history book, Antiquities of the Jews. "And making their years not so many as they formerly lived, but 120 only." End of quote. Soundbite 101. In Dr. Reginald Cherry's book, The Bible Cure, the following paragraph is found. In the early 50s, Leonard Hayflick, a scientist at the University of California, San Francisco, discovered a very interesting thing. All human cells are able to reproduce themselves only a certain number of times. This is estimated to be about 50 cell divisions, which Dr. Hayflick estimated would place the human life at between 115 and 120 years. The lifespan of humans seems to be set at approximately 120 years, end of quote. Feature number 25, soundbite number 102. The world's wise have scoffed at the Bible's insistence that giants, even entire tribes of giants, once roamed the earth. The scriptures reference giants nearly 200 times. Does secular history support such fantastical claims? Is there a very clear and credible record? The simple answer is, of course there is. Soundbite 103. God reminds Israel of their roots in Deuteronomy 3, verse 11. For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. Is it not in Rabbath of the children of Ammon? 9 cubits was the length thereof, and 4 cubits the breadth of it, after the cubit of a man. Perhaps the first museum was in Rabbath of the children of Ammon, where Og's bed remained. If you use the 18-inch cubit, his bed would be 13 and a half feet long and 6 feet wide, or based on the 22-inch cubit, 16 and a half feet long and 7 feet wide, 4 inches wide. Give him a foot for head and toe clearance, and you have a giant of 12 and a half to 15 and a half feet tall. It is reported that German scholar Gustav Dalman discovered the bed of the giant king just where God said it sat. Soundbite 104. Flavius Josephus from the Antiquities of the Jews. There were till then left the race of giants who had bodies so large and countenances so entirely different from other men that they were surprising to the sight and terrible to the hearing. The bones of these men are still shown to this very day, unlike to any credible relations to other men, end of quote. Soundbite 105. According to the research collection by Deloach, author of the book Giants, during his principate, Caesar Augustus, 27 B.C. to A.D. 14, assigned 2 giants who towered over 10 feet tall to lead the Roman armies into battle. On account of this remarkable height, writes Pliny, the bodies of the 2 giants were preserved in the tomb in Salus Gardens. Their names were Pusio and Secundula. End of quote. Soundbite 106. Consider a few headlines. New York Tribune, February 3, 1909. Skeleton, 15 feet high, unearthed in Mexico. Scientific American, August 14, 1880, page 106. Ancient American Giants. The Vancouver Sun, August 18, 1922, page 9. Primitive man, 10 feet tall, is unearthed. It doesn't take an inordinate amount of looking to debunk the Bible critics. Giants? Yes. Just like the Word of God says, beginning with Genesis chapter 6, feature 26, soundbite 107. Genesis 6:4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old men of renown. For the past 10 years, the scientific community has been uncovering ancient, non-human variants in human DNA, that have them baffled. Scientists have concluded that these variants must be the product of ancient human breeding with a non-human species they have dubbed the ghost species. God said, man said, suggests these alien tags in human DNA are the remnants of the fallen sons of God in Genesis chapter 6. Soundbite 108. The ancient historian Flavius Josephus was born just a few years after Christ, and he writes in his book, The Antiquities of Jews, about the fallen sons of God. For many angels of God accompanied with women and begat sons that proved unjust and despisers of all that was good on account of the confidence they had in their own strength, for the tradition is that these men did what resembled the acts of those whom the Grecians call giants. 109. Scientists are perplexed at what they are discovering. Several recent headlines follow. July 25, 2017, EzHerald.com, ancient humans had sex with non-humans. July 7, 2017, IFLScience.com, this tooth once belonged to a member of a mysterious species of humans that we know almost nothing about. July 21, 2017, Buffalo EDU. In saliva, clues to a ghost species of ancient human. July 24, 2017, FoxNews.com. Scientists find possible clue to ancient ghost species of human. July 2013, NationalGeographic.com. The case of the missing ancestor, subhead, DNA from a cave in Russia, as the mysterious new member to the human family. Soundbite 110. As you read on, keep in mind that there were giants, and these giants were the offspring of the fallen sons of God. The June 29, 2021 headline from CBSNews.com reads, "Massive dragon man skull found in China might be a new human evolutionary branch." Soundbite 111. AncientOrigins.net headlined, "Dragon man skull found in China may be another human species," on June 25, 2021. The standout characteristic of the skull is its size. It is the largest hominin skull ever discovered. But overall, the shape and contours of its face resemble that of an impossibly large human being. The skull's brain cavity is also similar in size to that of a modern human. It's got such an interesting combination of features, Stringer noted. The morphology shows that this is definitely a distinct lineage in Eastern Asia. It's not Neanderthal, and it's not Homo sapiens. It is something quite distinct. Number 112. After reading the reports above, one would rightfully wonder why not a single report invoked the dreaded word giant or fallen sons of God. Those who presume to be our teachers and are schooling our children are obviously lacking schooling themselves, as in Sunday schooling. The puzzlement gives way to a clear absolute yes when your childlike faith in God's word is exercised. Feature 27, Soundbite 113. Historians, geologists, ancient societal records, archaeologists, anthropologists, paleontologists, biologists, and certainly Jesus Christ, his Old Testament prophets, and New Testament apostles and disciples all testify to Noah and the ark, just like Genesis says. 114. According to Bishop Usher's meticulous chronological record in his book, The Annals of the World, written in the 1600s, Noah boarded the ark on Sunday, December 7, 49 B.C. Soundbite 115. Concerning societal records, Dr. Andrew Snelling records the following in his book, The Genesis Flood Revisited. Some estimates go as high as more than 80,000 flood accounts in some 70 languages describing a cataclysmic deluge, more than 80% of them mentioning a large vessel to save the human race from extinction. Number 116. The following excerpts are from the big argument, Does God Exist? Typical are the American Indian flood traditions, such as the Navajo flood that covered the first world because the world grew extremely sinful, especially with sexual sins. Regarding the Great Flood, Warshawski notes that an account similar to the biblical account of a great universal flood is part of the mythology and legend of almost every culture on earth. Soundbite 117. Forget the word legend as you read the following headlines. August 4, 2016, New York Times. Scientific evidence of flood may give credence to legend of China's first dynasty. August 5, 2016, UK Telegraph. First evidence of legendary China flood may rewrite history. August 4, 2016, Washington Post. Legends say China began in a great flood. Scientists just found evidence that the flood was real. August 4, 2016, ScienceMag.org. Massive flood may have led to China's earliest empire. Soundbite 118, Jerusalem Post, November 1, 2023. New research might point to location remains of Noah's Ark. A paragraph follows. The location of Noah's Ark might soon be identified. A group of archaeologists have suggested as they unearthed geological formations in Turkey that bear a striking resemblance to a colossal ship. Feature number 28, Soundbite 119. Dr. Andrew Snelling, a geologist of serious stature, wrote in his book, The Genesis Flood Revisited, "There can thus be no doubt that under such conditions during the flood, as the torrential rains fell and the ocean waters surge to inundate the land surfaces, burial and fossilization of myriads of animals and plants en masse was guaranteed. Whereas burial and fossilization of even a single animal or plant is exceedingly rare happenstance, the abundance of fossils preserved in the geological record, often in massive numbers, in what have aptly been called fossil graveyards, is unmistakable, powerful testimony to the destructive effects of the water cataclysm described in the scriptures, end of quote. Number 120. 80 whale skeletons have been unearthed in the Peruvian desert. 121. In his book, Dragons of the Deep, Carl Whelan writes the following concerning the Shoshone Mountain reptile, a sea monster known as Shonisaurus. The location in which Shonisaurus fossils came to light is interesting, too. The Shoshone Mountains of Nevada are in the middle of the desert, yet 36 Shonisaurus fossils were found together there at an altitude, get this now, of over 7,000 feet, end of quote. Sea monsters in Nevada? Number 122. The marine fossil crinoid, a sea lily, was found embedded in limestone on top of Mount Everest. Number 123. The headline in July-August 2022 issue of Axe and Facts reads, Asia data confirms progressive global flood. Excerpts follow. We have now accumulated column data across five of the world's seven continents, with Australia in progress and Antarctica in the future. Our results reinforce earlier finding of a progressive global flood. After examining the rock record across five continents, we can now be more assured than ever that there was a global flood as described in Genesis, the rocks don't lie, end of quote. P.S. They have just finished their research in Australia, and again the results say yes to Noah. Feature number 29, soundbite 124. When data measurements are made void of evolutionary hallucinations, the results are a Genesis young Earth and its universe. Dr. Roger Gallup, a highly credentialed geologist and marine scientist, authored the book Evolution, the Greatest Deception in Modern History. Several excerpts addressing radioisotope dating follow. Many people believe that radioisotope techniques, such methods as carbon-14, uranium-lead, potassium-argon, and rubidium-strontium, are generally in agreement and the Earth is millions of years old. However, the reality is these various techniques produce results that don't agree with known dates or each other and don't agree with stratigraphic or fossil studies. Soundbite 125. Mount Ngarrahoa of New Zealand erupted in 1949, 1954, and 1975, but potassium-argon dating ranges from 270,000 years to 3.5 million years, radium-strontium dating at 133 million years, samarium-neodymium at 197 million years, and lead-lead at 3,908 million years. If these dating processes were accurate, these radioisotope ages should indicate recent eruptions with ages of less than 50 years. 126. Mount St. Helens in Washington erupted in 1980. But potassium-argon dating provides an age of about 2.8 million years. If the dating processes were accurate, then the radioisotope age should be about 15 years. Date of analysis in 1995 minus 1980. Soundbite 127. In the book, The Puzzle of Ancient Man, author Dr. Chittick quotes Ann Gibbons, as she wrote in the January 2, 1998 issue of Science. Regardless of the cause, evolutionists are most concerned about the effect of a faster mutation rate. For example, researchers have calculated the mitochondrial Eve, the woman whose mtDNA was ancestral to that in all living people, lived 100,000 to 200,006 years ago in Africa. Using the new clock, she would be a mere 6,000 years old, end of quote. Feature 30. Soundbite 128, Genesis 8:4, and the ark rested on the seventh month, on the seventh day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. Is it Ararat or is it Africa? 129. Popular consensus says that Earth's people had their beginning in Africa, but Science News, July 24, 2017, says, not so fast. The feature headline reads, Hominid Roots May Go Back to Europe. Soundbite 130. The headline from Breaking Israel News, June 22, 2017, reads, Mummy DNA may prove ancient Egyptians descended from Ham, the son of Noah, exactly as Bible describes. The subject line of that feature says, DNA study of mummies indicates ancient Egyptians descended from biblical Ham. Noah and family, which included Ham, landed on the mountains of Ararat, not Africa. Soundbite 131. What genetic researchers are discovering is that Noah's son Ham populated Egypt, even as the scriptures record, Psalms 105:23. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. The Bible is the ultimate history book, and it says Ararat, not Africa. Genesis, one God-inspired truth after another. Next week, God willing, we will include the summation of summations. Surely, God's word is true and righteous altogether, a place to build a life that will last forever. God said, Genesis 2:22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. God said, Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. God said, Genesis 3:14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Man said, if God authored the Bible, where are all the God-inspired truths in his first book, Genesis? There isn't any. Now you have the record.